I'm a firm believer that my vote does count. That's why I'm so adamant every time there's an election. I cast my ballot. Even in a off-election cycle, if there's something going on in the city or the county where I live, I take the time to go down there to vote.
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. I'm Stephanie Guy. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Tonight, my focus is on a nonprofit organization called Morpheus Youth Project. Their mission, as stated on their website, morpheusyouth.org, is to create an accessible, safe, and respectful environment that encourages positive growth and provides creative opportunities through the arts and humanities. Specifically, I am highlighting the radio journalism class that they teach at the McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn, Oregon. First, I will play a recording taken at the Cascade Media Convergence on September 20th, in which Carlos Chavez, director and co-founder of Morpheus Youth Project, talks about how the organization was created and about Measure 11, which is a huge reason why many of the youth are at McLaren.
So this is McLaren here. It's the largest facility that's run by the state. And basically, this is the youth prison. They don't want you to call it that.
Would we call it juvie?
Juvie would be juvenile detention, which that's in Portland. And so that's where the youth will go initially. This is the more severe stuff. If they did something that was severe, usually they would only be in the juvenile facility for a certain period of time, and then they graduate to the... Or maybe they do something more while they're in the juvenile facility that sends them here. But the juvenile facility is usually kind of, it's not as long of a term period. These, you have youth that are in there for really long sentences. And that was kind of the next thing I was going to talk about was Measure 11. So Measure 11 is basically a one strike, you're out law that we have here in Oregon. It was passed in 95. During the 90s, a lot of folks across the country, there was a whole agenda really for folks to really get tough on crime. And, you know, Measure 11 is a mandatory minimum of about 5 years or so. Okay, so the example that I give a lot of youth, I work with kids out over at David Douglas High School, and I do this this after-school program for kids that are getting in trouble and stuff like that. And I talk to them about Measure 11, and I explain to them that, because a lot of them, they'll dip off to the park because somebody's going to get into a fight, and it's exciting, and everybody wants to go up there. I tell them, you guys better be careful about that. Yeah. I say, because, you know, an assault charge, that can be a Measure 11 charge. And if a cop wants to, the cop's going to throw that on you. You know, if you're a person of color, best believe they'll be throwing everything that they can at you, because they are definitely racist here, as they are in many other places. Disproportionately, the people of color are housed there at McLaren because of Measure 11. So Measure 11 is a tool that's being used to discriminate even further. The thing that's really the most shameful thing about it is that what ends up happening is that in court, when kids go to court, there's no oversight. It removes judicial oversight. So it ties the judge's hands and the jury's hands. They can't do anything. And what ends up happening is what they'll do is they'll stack these charges. Mm-hmm. So for every Measure 11 charge that you get, that's a five-year sentence. Mm-hmm. So if you're being charged with five Measure 11 charges, you're looking at a 25-year sentence if you try and fight it. So a lot of people will cop a plea bargain outside of court in order to avoid that 25-year charge, and they'll end up getting a 5-year charge anyway. And so they end up going to McLaren. And that's how a lot of the youth end up there. So if there's kids that are kind of problematic in the neighborhood, especially gang-affected kids, they really focus in and zero in on them. They stack charges any which way that they can so that they can get those kids locked up. And that's how it happened. And it's a frightening thing. So, but I wanted to point that out so you can kind of understand the depth and the impact that Measure 11 really has here in the state of Oregon. And what's crazy about it is when they passed Measure 11, they also passed Measure 10, which made it next to impossible to remove Measure 11 from the laws. So at McLaren, I started volunteering there. I started doing my radio journalism program there. And there were other folks that were doing other programs there. They have this organization called Hope Partnership. They bring in folks from the outside. And it was actually something that the youth created. So there's a youth leadership team there. at McLaren that created this organization to bring people in from the outside so that they can have more of a community there. So at McLaren, I met another guy there that was doing a theater group, and we both had the idea of putting an organization together. And ultimately, what we'd like to do is something that helps to kind of transition kids. Because when they're done doing a five-year sentence, they're like, okay, you're on your own. Have a good time. And I noticed, as I kept in touch with some of the guys that had been out, how much of an impact just a simple conversation made. Them having someone that understood what they were going through while they were in jail for 5 years, 7 years, at least understood what that environment was and understood that how difficult this transition is, because they're out there with their families and stuff like that, and nobody really understands how difficult it is to be removed from the world for that period of time, and then all of a sudden thrown back into it. Everything has been passing you up for quite some time. Technology, everything. The whole shape of the environment looks different to them when they get out. But 5 years in a young person's life, if you were locked up when you were 15, 5 years is a third of your life. When kids are being locked up during that time, that is a very crucial part of their development. They're being removed from many of these things that are going to help them to their brains to develop, and for them to be healthy. So that's why it's so important for groups like, not just the group that I'm doing, but all these other folks that are coming into McLaren and other facilities like this doing creative activities. Creative activities, for me, the reason why I got into that is that's what really lights the brain up. That's the thing the glue that really connects all these other, academic skills that you start to learn as a kid is the arts is what pulls that all together. One of the things that I do is, so I go in and I teach them how to do radio. We do mock newscasts, so I get them to sit down and write news copy. I show them how to do it, and so they see how the dynamic works. They see how it comes together. We play the music up and out, and we do it just as if we're doing a live newscast. And with youth, you always want to keep things fresh. You always want to update and keep things moving. You don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again. So a lot of times when we do those, I like to repeat the mock newscast so that they get good at it. But what I'll do is I'll change it up and I'll say, okay, let's do our news stories about zombie apocalypse today, And then so we'll make it fun. Or sometimes we get real serious, Like, hey, let's talk about something that really means something to you. And then everybody kind of shares that. And so different stories break out and stuff like that. And we have some really interesting conversations. Radio journalism is just a tool to really get the important stuff out there, to build relationships with these young people and to plant seeds in their mind about, who they are and who others are, being tolerant, understanding other cultures, understanding themselves. Why is it that I do these things? What does masculinity really mean? So it gives me an excuse to open up these conversations. And that, to me, is the really important thing. And that's the thing that really sets roots in. And I really focus on honesty. When I say I'm going to do something, I do it. It's really important not to let these kids down because they're used to that. They're used to people telling them that they can't do stuff. I do my best to talk them up. And I do my best to build relationships because I know these are rival gang members that are sitting together in my classrooms. So I'm doing whatever I can to make them feel like we're a family. We're doing this stuff together. We're all brothers here. And so that's the format that I really focus on heavily. I was talking to one of the guys. He was one of the bigger kids that was there. He was kind of an enforcer for one of the gangs. And he told me, he said, when you first got there, we looked up, what you were about and all this kind of stuff. We wanted to find out who you were before you even started. And he said, when we first got there, we tried to test you. And he said, but we found pretty quickly that you were genuine. There was no way, there was nothing that we could fault you on. We tested you in these different ways, and the way that you responded was always in such a good way. And what you came through, when you said you were going to do something, you did it. And that's one of the things. It means so much to me when I hear my kids tell me that kids that usually won't open up in these ways coming up and telling me that, hey man, you've always been there for us. Like, I really appreciate that, When you say that you're going to be there, you're always there, And that means a lot because I know how difficult it is for them to say that.
Does their radio show, does it air?
We broadcast it on cable through Prison Pipeline Collective is usually how we do it. And we're going to be doing more stuff this next session. I'm getting the kids certified so that when they get out, they can actually jump right into cable and start doing producing and stuff like that because they're getting the skills. Anyway, so look for stuff that we got going on. And if you want to get involved or anything like that, we're always looking for volunteers and stuff like that. Yeah, so thank you guys. I appreciate your time.
And next is an interview that took place on October 23rd with Danny Gonzalez, who recently completed his time at McLaren and talked with me about being a part of the radio journalism class conducted by the Morpheus Youth Project.
My name is Danny Gonzalez. I was there at McLaren for 5 years and 10 months. Incarcerated for 5 years and 10 months. So Carlos Chavez was the one who introduced the group to us. You know, it was radio journalism, but that class was a class where he kind of brought in just different types of knowledge. You know, he had us kind of reflect on that, reflect on the things that he taught us, and he would make us kind of write a little essay or something on it, have us present that in the class. It started like that, and he kind of started teaching us more about, like, what radio journalism is about, being part of a community radio. You know, he taught us the different things between a community radio and a radio that's based off other media, you know. And that's another thing too that he taught us about, you know, the different types of medias that they have out there, because what they teach people out there is not really based on true facts. You know, they kind of go off of what they want to teach you, what they want you to see, you know. Community radio, what he taught us was people that are living out in the community. It's kind of like a voice for them, you know, like a voice for the community. And that's what, you know, got me interested in joining this group. Being at McLaren, this group, it was optional. You know, it wasn't a group that you were forced to go to, you know. So I went in, you know, one day I just went in and was like, all right, I'm going to check it out, you know. It was Kathleen Fullerton from the Hope Partnership who brought in Carlos Chavez from KBU to start this class at McLaren. And I had been there for about three, four years already. I liked what he was talking about, what he was teaching us, you know, and it was real to me, you know. So I was like, okay, I'm interested in this, and I want to be part of this.
So you were there when it started?
Yeah, I was one of the guys that was there first when it started, along with a couple other guys.
There were just a few of you?
Yeah.
How did he start out the class?
He showed us a couple different radio shows that he did, and I was really like, man, you know, this, he's really interviewing real people, and he's getting their perspective. It wasn't a radio station like other radio stations that you hear out nowadays, you know, just, I don't know, it's not real, you know?
Yeah, so it kind of connected to you more than, like, other radio.
Yeah, so, you know, it's something that I related to it, you know, the stuff that I was seeing or that I was hearing in the radio show that he was doing. That's where I kind of was interested in, well, how come I don't hear this on an everyday basis? You know, I don't hear this type of radio, you know? That's what I was kind of like, all right, this is the voice of the community.
What did it mean for you being in the correctional facility, having this voice and being able to interview others and really put your perspective out there?
So to me, like I was saying, it was about having a voice, you know, we all have a voice, but it was kind of like putting our voice out there, you know, for others to hear our point of view, our perspective on the way that we're doing, you know, our time in there for whatever we did that got us in there. But kind of like to try to also teach others, you know, like what it's like and what you don't want to be in, you know, what you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be incarcerated at, you know, because we all got locked up. A lot of the guys that are there got locked up around ages of 15 through 16, you know, and me, myself, I got locked up at the age of 16. And now being out here in the community at the age of 22, you know, it's like, you know, it's been a while. So it's like, it's hard, you know, and that's kind of one of the things that being in there, you know, you're looking forward for your release date.
So what were some of the things, some examples of things you talked about?
Carlos would bring in, I don't know, he'll bring in like different flyers or like newspaper articles and stuff like that. And so he'll have us read that and see what we took from that and rewrite it in our own way, you know, in our own, however we got from that little piece of article. I mean, it was not really much information, so it was kind of for us to go
your
off of
own
that
interpretation.
So what did we get from that and rewrite it in a way where, okay, this is what I got, and you know, and that kind of showed like what media is about and how people do change certain things that are written, and you know, so it kind of taught me how easy it is for the media to just rewrite things and make them seem like it's not, you know. So he taught us a lot about that. Also, another thing Carlos did was he brought in like history pieces, history that you don't see on the TV nowadays, you know, a lot of history that you don't learn about in school.
Like what, for instance?
Like a lot about like the Black Panther parties and the misconceptions that they have about like the Black Panther Party, or even like the Brown Berets, you know, that's part of the Hispanic culture, stuff that people don't really learn in school. And that's another thing that got me really interested in his class, because because he brought in so many different things to the table and just kind of put it out there. And he fed us, you know, basically with that knowledge, you know, that he brought.
So I know that you played a big part in recruiting a lot of the other guys to the class, right?
Yeah, me and a couple. I mean, I would want to take all the credit, you know, but I mean, me and a couple of the guys that were there, me and like two other guys that were there, we were the first ones that kind of attended that. And we started like telling other people about it, like, hey, come check this out. You know, it's something really new. And if you want to learn something, come join this group or come check it out at least, you know. Yeah, a lot of guys kind of took our word for it and they attended once or twice and they were hooked from there, you know.
So did that help you sort of connect with other guys from other groups who you normally wouldn't have talked to, or how did that class play a part?
Yeah, that was another way of meeting with other guys too, because we're housed in different living units at McLaren. So sometimes there's people that you don't see, you know, you don't really see unless you go to a work site that they work at, you know, but it's rare that you see most of the people on other, you know, they call them cottages where we live at. So yeah, it was another way of meeting new people, you know, meeting new people. And then, you know, Carlos would also bring a lot of people from the community. He'll bring a couple guests, you know, like once a week.
So like what kind of, like artists or?
Yeah. Yeah, one time he brought in I forgot his name, but he was part of he used to be part of the Black Panther Party.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he brought in a couple people that have been around, you know, that people that are in, you know, the Portland area or, you know, just in Oregon, and they've done some part of history, you know. So it's really cool to have that, you know.
So did this class sort of help you open up? Like, how much did you guys talk about your personal lives? Or
it was all about that. Yeah, it was all like how much people were willing to kind of put out there.
Of course, yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of the guys there, we got really close and connected with the group. You know, when we went in that group, there was a rule that what was said in group, you know, stays in group. So a lot of the guys were kind of pretty open, you know, about what they would talk about. So it was more like another little family, you know. Like you would talk about certain things and, you know, how it affected you and stuff like that. So it kind of gave us a way to kind of put things out there, and, you know, in a family setting. That was that. And then Carlos would kind of, you know, like I said, show us the equipment and get us into like the radio journalism part, you know, like show us what it's about. And
so you learn these like real skills for like being a radio journalist.
Yeah, so awesome. I thought that was pretty cool that he actually taught us, you know, what being a journalist is about, being a journalist, and, you know, like how to ask questions, you know, what questions do you ask,
or how to even be comfortable talking.
Yeah, that's another thing too. I mean, I feel like I'm talking a lot right now, you know, I was a real talker, you know. And that's another thing that group taught me, you know, like it kind of helped me be more social, I guess.
Yeah,
more.
I mean, it seems like it's really a social skills building class too. That's cool. Yeah, how was it to be interviewing your peers? I mean, how did that feel the first time that you did that?
So one of the first times we went on an interview, Carlos brought in some recording equipment. The African-American group was having a event for Black History Month. So we had requested from that group, you know, we should go check it out. Maybe we should go do it our real life. Because in the group, we were interviewing each other, you know, asking each other questions. Just kind of, I mean, at first it was kind of like more of a joking around, like, oh, hey, you know, this and that, you know. So it was all fun and games or whatever. But then we kind of got serious. Okay, so let's do real interviews at a real live show, which was the Black History Month event. So at McLaren, certain when the time comes around, we have like we celebrate the Black History Month, the Cinco de Mayo, Independence, for the Mexican Independence Day. They do events on those months where family are able to come in to the facility and kind of celebrate, you know. And they do, like, some of the guys in there do music, you know, they perform like certain songs that they write. These songs are based on like the history, you know, of their culture, you know. And so we were at this group at Radio Journalism, and we were talking about, well, we have Black History Month coming up. We should go and interview some of the guys that are coming. So McLaren would bring in a couple guests from the community to this Black History Month event. So they will come in, they'll give like a speech, or they'll talk about, you know, certain history pieces, you know. So our job or whatever was to interview people around, you know, just family members, the people that are coming in from the community. We would ask them questions like, how do you feel to be here, you know, like, or what's your perspective? You coming right. to see your son or here at the facility? And then we would ask the guests, like, about their speech, kind of ask them on their perspective, you know, on, like, Measure 11. You know, Measure 11 is a big, still, you know, it's a big topic at the time, too. It was, you know, they were trying to change it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just stuff like that, you know, so that's kind of what we did. And we were walking around with our little equipment.
Yeah.
Carlos had brought in like these little MP3 players that mm-hmm. had a recording thing on it and they had a mic on them. So we would do it with that, you know, and just kind of go around and ask questions and, you know, just
how did that. People respond to that?
So we had set it up like, okay, we're part of, you know, I'm Danny Gonzalez, part of the McLaren Youth Radio Show. We'll start asking our questions and they were like, you know, they were kind of like, oh, what are you guys doing? You know, like you guys are, but I mean, they would answer our questions and they would go along with it and they would, you know, turn into something more serious. Yeah, it was nice. And that's kind of what got the guys that were part of the group. It made them feel like they were actually interviewing right. and they were actually, you know, journalists, you know, because
awesome.
that's what the group was about.
These newscasts or interviews, did you edit them? Did you make them into like shows to be aired maybe
yes.
somewhere
so,
and played?
Mm-hmm. So what Carlos did after we were done doing all these interviews, we kind of would put them together using Adobe Audition program.
Right, yeah.
So we were uploading them on there and then we would cut out the pieces, you know, the, mm-hmm. you know, the...
Make it sound good.
Yeah, you know, make them sound good, you know? So, you know, after a while, because we did a few of them, so it kind of, people started learning it and people started, you know, getting the hang of how to do it. So it was different, you know, it was different than all the other groups that were offered at McLaren at the time. So
what were the other groups?
They had a couple other groups, like I mean, they had church services, of course. They had like just recreational groups.
Mm-hmm.
So this was more like something more serious, you know, like more like you want to learn about maybe a profession, you know, learn mm-hmm. about profession as radio or being a journalist, interviewing people using these equipment and all that, you know. So it was different. It was way different than to what we were used to, you know. I guess yes. a lot of people would say all the other stuff was kind of like, not that fun, you know.
Yeah. I understand there were other classes that the Morpheus Youth Project put on, like breakdancing.
Yes, Morpheus Youth, they offered a couple other ones. They offered like breakdancing group. I think Carlos also ran that one too.
Was there slam poetry?
Oh yeah, slam poetry. Like, yes, that's...
Did you do any of that?
I never did that because, I mean, I never, well, you know, I never really knew how to do slam poetry. Yeah. But, I mean, there's a couple guys there that were really, really skilled on slam poetry and they would join us. Now, that was more of a competition. Kitty, you know, thing, yeah. But they did that. They offered that.
Did you ever record their
poems? Yeah, we actually mm-hmm. Did songs. I mean, I actually like writing songs while I was incarcerated.
Cool.
So me and a couple other guys would write songs, and we would use learning the equipment that we learned from Carlos Chavez. We took it to another step, you know, like, okay, we like doing music. We do music. We write music. You know, that kind of taught us more
nice.
About the equipment and how to do it, how to
cool.
kind of made us familiar with that. So yeah, it really helped us.
I know that Carlos started getting the guys at McLaren who take the class that certified through KBOO by taking the trainings that any volunteers at KBOO take.
Yeah, yeah. He was actually just talking about that with me, about bringing me here and kind of being part of KBOO, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
yeah.
That's really cool to me, you know? And if that's something that's going to be offered now, you know, to the youth in there, that'll be something
so
for them. That'll be another step for them to look forward
mm-hmm,
to, you know,
yeah.
when they're released back out into the community. Because in there, it started more like, okay, well, they're learning the equipment and stuff. But, I mean,
but
if they're offered... Yeah, what does it lead
yeah.
to? That's kind of like, okay, well, if they know that, then that'll give them that extra motivation,
yeah.
you know, that extra push, you know, to keep doing it, you know,
mm-hmm.
If there's something that really interests them in.
So how did your relationship with your peers change as a result of this class?
It made me more social than I was.
It sounds like you had a good amount of freedom to touch on any sort of themes that you wanted to in your newscasts or interviews and stuff.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, Carlos would on occasion, he would ask us, like, if there was anything that went on through the week that we would like to talk about. One of the topics that was really big with us in there was Measure 11. We want to know, like, well, where did Measure 11 come from, you know, and who made it up, or, you know,
right.
and where is it heading, you know, is it going to change? change. Carlos actually brought some people in from the Salem Central office.
Uh-huh.
He brought in a couple people from there, and he brought in a couple people that would know about the Measure 11.
Okay.
So yeah,
to talk with you guys.
Yeah, to talk with us and let us know what Measure 11 was really about. So we had a chance to interview them and
was that?
It was really cool because it made us like understand it more and
yeah.
It kind of see, and that's another way of us expressing ourselves.
Right.
So it made us ask questions that we had in mind. It helped us get that out of, express ourselves in a way, but in a positive way, of course,
mm-hmm.
and ask the questions we wanted the answers for, so.
Yeah. Why is it important to have a journalism class in a facility such as McLaren?
I believe it's really helpful because it gives a lot of people like a different outlet, kind of for them to express themselves and, because being in there, I mean, people get locked up and they're locked up physically, but at the same time, people get locked up mentally. So this kind of gives them, even though they're still locked up physically, it gives them a way to kind of free themselves mentally while being in a facility. So I think this radio journalism is really a good outlet for people kind of to be themselves, let themselves be heard, and.
Well, thank you so much, Danny, for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
To end our program today, here's a song called Mistakes, written and recorded by Danny and his friends at McLaren.
Yeah. It's your boy, man. Side love. Mistakes. Everybody make them. Check it. 19 and day, I sit and think about my past life. Shots fired, slipped and fell, thought I met Christ. Hustling, grinding, I did my thing late nights. Should've been dead, cause I could've been killed twice. And I ain't glorifying or focus on the negative. This is real life, I'm just hoping you relate to it. Homies, stay faking it. Women's in relationships, tired of being through them both. And people are irrelevant. I'm prepared for the future, living in the present. Nice drive, no shot, call.
Is a myth, a balance always exists. Make a mistake and learn, karma gon' contradict. Living within a sentence, life is the consequence. I made my decision when I grabbed that pistol, cocked it back. All in now with marijuana keeping me relaxed. Alcoholic beverage turn me up, peaking to the max. I'm seeking my internal map, but all I see is burning lack of guidance. The street call I answer with every act of violence. This is the reaction when we living in the sound of silence. Juvenile delinquents reeking in the center, timeless. Tell the reaper sneaks and thieves of life. We need to be enlightened. I was enticed by money, drugs, fatal attraction. Women in strife, they using love as the main distraction. Living through hype in the moment, that's misdirected passion. First handcuffs saved me from an open casket. Took me a while to understand that freedom is knowledge. Gotta hit the dirt and get back up for your skills to be polished. Road to success equals tribulation and preparation. Thinking I ain't learned from my mistakes, you highly mistaken.
daydreaming in a reoccurring nightmare. Was 17 with a scheme that it put me right here, but maybe with a simile, hopefully someone listens. Mr. Nice Guy was married to the street, so meet my missus. I was misunderstood, misinterpreted, and misconstrued. Miscellaneous reasons causing mischief and missing school. Misbehave, unfortunately, for just misfortune. Misusing the term for dropping petals, cause I miss Portland. Life's a miscarrying a misfit. Misdemeanors turn into measure 11 mischief. Misled, eventually turned to misplaced. But my last misses I'ma talk about is mistakes. You live and learn, but you learning from those who die around you. Truth is, you just gonna learn from those who just gonna lie around you. Hard for those who love you when you battle in your past, but it's easy for those to hug you just to stab you in the back. Taking 7-4 that's got a minute, well you should take 5. Never pay attention to what trickles down the grapevine. So my brother wouldn't have to, I would do this ends 8 times. Never have to make mine.
You have been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline or like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to thank my guest, Danny Gonzalez, as well as Carlos Chavez. And thank you to our engineers, Danielle and Mike.
Oh, pirates, yes, to my mind.
Hear poetry from the prisoners at the Oregon State Penitentiary.
Hood anthems become multi-million dollar commercial jingles. But the question is, who's getting paid and who's really getting played? Such a volatile minefield.
In this world of cold concrete and lifeless steel, there is no warmth here, no affection, no touch.
But more than the cacophonous conversation, I crave the pleasure of feeling myself. I need you to keep me sensitive.
Hear the Uhuru Sasa Poetry Share on Prison Pipeline, November 24th at 6:30 p.m.
Triumphantly. Won't you help me sing this song of freedom?
Tune in Tuesday night at 6 p.m. to Out Loud, KBOO's queer culture radio show.
Out Loud celebrates and serves the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, and allied community.